This month we've been teaching and learning on the promise. We've been learning about the God's promises of peace and hope and joy have been fulfilled. And we come this morning to the last promise of our series, the promise of love. Doring's son had sent his aging parents a microwave, thinking it would make their life easier. And so he was surprised to hear his mom's voice on the phone a few days later. So they weren't really the kind of parents that called very often. And so he said, "Hi, Mom, and did you get the microwave?" And she went, "Well, of course, yeah, we got the microwave. And your father and I appreciate it very much." And he said, "Does it work?" And she said, "Well, that's why I'm calling. We tried everything, and we just can't seem to get it to work. In fact, we can't even set the clock on this thing. I mean, the clock, it just keeps blinking." So the son was just sympathetic, and he felt so bad. He got in this nice microwave, and he felt really bad. And he said to her, he said, "So did you read the instructions?" And she went, "You know, we did. We read that instruction booklet time and time again, and we still can't get to work." And so the son says to his mom, he says, finally, he's kind of like frustrated. He said, "So, Mom, what do you think the problem is?" And the mother replied, "Well, I guess that we just needed our son to come along with the gift." Over the centuries, we've been talking about this promise. Over the centuries, the identity of a Savior in Scripture was progressively revealed. A paragraph of the promise of this Savior to come was shown to Abraham, revealing that a Savior would come from his line and would be a blessing to all the world. 1,000 years later, another portion of the promise was revealed. He would be a descendant of David and an heir to a king's throne. Prophet by prophet, the Savior's features grew a little more distinct as he was revealed, a word at a time, a sentence at a time, an image at a time. They were Emmanuel. "Out of you, O Bethlehem, will come a ruler, a bruised reed he will not break, a dimly burning wick, Preston, he will not extinguish." But for 400 years, there was no mention of a Savior. 400 years. Not from heaven, no divine visitations, no prophetic utterances, no word at all. What about that promise? The promise of a Savior spoken 1,000 years before. The story is told of a little boy whose father was killed in World War II. And Christmas time was especially hard on this boy, as you can imagine, because his friends had their fathers to share in the Christmas traditions of the season. And so one Christmas morning, after all the gifts had been wrapped, the boy went to his mother and gave her a big hug. Just thanked her for the presents. His mom hugged him back, and she said, I hope you got everything you wanted for Christmas." Her son replied, "Well, there is one more thing." "And what's that?" his mother replied. He said, I wish that Dad could have been here with us." Parents longing for their son, a son longing for a parent, the faithful longing for a word, a visitation, just something from heaven, because 400 years is a long time. I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke. We're going to go to chapter 2 in this book of Luke, and we're going to begin our reading at verse 7. Now, I hope I lead you correctly when I say it's page 1083. I hope it's page 1083. You might want to turn there, and if it isn't, we're on the same page. But Luke chapter 2. In the reading of God's word this morning, we'll start at verse 7. "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company, the heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. There's a great missionary, and this missionary said, all of God's giants had been weak men and women who did great things for God because they reckoned on God being with them. On God being with them. You know, long ago, there lived a wise and a good king. And he loved his people so much that he wanted to know more about them. He wanted to acquaint himself with how they lived. He wanted to know about their struggles, their joys, and their sorrows. So he would walk among his people. He would disguise himself often as a common laborer or even at times as a beggar. But he wanted to be in the throes and the streets and the realities of the people's lives of whom he ruled. And as he was doing this, he came to hear about a certain man and his family who were undergoing some hardships. So the king decided to pay this particular family a visit. And so he went and he knocked at their door. And the father of the house, opening the door, had no idea who it was knocking at his door. But he invited this beggar in. He invited him in and took him in. And they cared for him. And they asked if he needed any clothes. And he politely refused. And they just wanted to take care of his needs. And they insisted that he stay for supper. But this beggar couldn't bring himself to eat their food because he knew they had so little, but they insisted. And so he stayed with this family and he had supper with them. They served him the best. They served him the most, but they took care of this beggar. But during the conversation at the table, they were impressed with this beggar. They were impressed with his kindness, his compassion, as he spoke words of encouragement to them. He seemed to be deeply moved as they talked about their challenges. Soon, he thanked the family and after dinner, and he left into the night. And the next day, he came back to that same house. He knocked on the door, and the father answered again. And so the beggar says to him, "Do you know who I am?" And the father said, "Well, of course I do. You're our guest from last night." And the sir said, I am more than that." And the father said, I'm a little confused. I don't know what you mean. So what do you mean?" And the guest took off his beggar clothes and revealed the royalty that was underneath. And he looked at the man and he said, "My friend," he said, "I came here not just as your guest last night. I came here as your king. I'm your king." Luke, the scripture that we read, chapter 2, verses 7 through 20, announced that God's love is with us. That God's love is with us. Lowly shepherds were graced with heaven's greatest announcement. You know, the angelic announcement that they receive passes the palace gate, and it comes to rest over sand-swept dwelling of few shepherds. Riches are poured on the lowly, salvation shining on the uneducated. Streams of grace from heaven unpredictably winding their way through the lives of the least expected recipients. So fitting that the news of the Lamb of God's birth would come to shepherds, and that this great reception would be hosted in a stable, a place crowded with faces most familiar to them, the faces of animals, a place where the look of their clothes and the smell of their flocks blended in, a place where out-of-place people would feel most welcome. That night, the shepherds had gone from the most exalted of heavenly sights to the most humble of earthly ones. from a dramatically lit sky to a dimly lit stable, from a choir of angels to a revelation spoken so softly that they had to stoop and enter a stable to hear it. Can you hear it?
Love came down one winter morn, all disguised in human form. No trumpet blew, no press release, just a baby wrapped in fleece. Love came down, what could this mean? Could love come to set us free? And who would know this Christmas day? Love, our guest, is on the way. Love came. Love came. Love came. Love came down to show us how to walk on earth and here and now, to turn a cheek, to lead, to pray. Love came down to show the way. Love came. Love came. Love came. Down. Love came down so sweet and warm, cradled softly in her arms to illuminate the darkened way. And love came down love came. love came. Love came
promise, just lying there so meekly, cradled in the most unexpected places, coming to us in the weakest of ways. He is Christ the Lord, yet he placed himself at the mercy of his creation, at the mercy of a census to determine where he would be born, at the mercy of strangers to take him in, at the mercy of animals to warm him, at the mercy of mortals to feed him and to protect him and to raise him. His body, once again, was against the wood, just lying there, waiting for us to come, yet willing for us not to, waiting for us to see, yet willing for us to turn away, waiting for us to worship him, yet willing for us to renounce him. You know, Luke 2:7-20 announces that God's love is for us. God's love is for us through the body and in the body of Jesus Christ. That God's love is with us in the juice that we partake. God with us, God for us, just waiting for us to come to him, to experience him. So I invite you, and this time, let's come and let's experience the love of God with us, the love of God for us. Let's come. He awaits us. He wants us to come. I invite all those who are going to help serve communion this morning, they'll come forward at this time.